In the communion verse of today's Mass, we pray, I will go unto the altar of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We do, of course, at Holy Communion, go unto the altar of God. And whenever we go there, we go with the confiteor upon our lips, confessing our sins, whether it be to the foot of the altar or to the altar rail. We're studying Christ's Mass at Calvary. Did it have a confiteor? How could it? It was Christ's. I confess I have sinned exceedingly in thought and word and deed, but the man Christ Jesus has no sins to confess. He is God and therefore sinless. Not a good man, but the man God. And yet he stood there in Gethsemane under the olive trees and stooped the high priest to pray. He was covered with sins in the garden, Holy Thursday night. And the next day, he hung innocent lamb upon the tree against the eclipse of Good Friday's dark sky. We pray, or we should, from the depths of the consciousness of our sin. Jesus prays his confiteor, our brother and high priest, differently, but he says it, Jesus Christ the righteous. St. Paul writes something mysterious and terrible in its telling. In his second epistle to the Corinthians, he says that our Lord was made sin for us. It is a powerful phrase, this. What could it mean? But that Jesus becomes in some measure sin, its sacrifice, its victim. And certainly, he shares our sinful nature, though without sin himself. The representative of sin is a good phrase. To bear the whole weight of God's wrath, to step forward as the pledge for sin, he offers infinite reparation. And the remedy only God could give to cure such a wound. But first, he is wounded for our transgressions, surrounded, suffocated by sin. It started in Gethsemane, the prayers at the foot of the altar. He went a stone's throw from the three, the rest stayed outside the garden. He dismissed his angels. They did not want to leave him. Bearing his breast, these are Cardinal Newman's words, he opened his arms to the assault of the foe. Satan embraced him. It was an agony. All that was hateful and heinous in human crime clung close around his heart and found its way into every sense and core of his being, so that he almost feels himself to be what he could never be. He doesn't know himself. His eyes, his hands, his feet and lips, his very heart, as though they belonged to the other, to the devil, and not to God. Are these his hands running with the blood of the crimes of tens and tens of thousands, the shame of them? And his lips, no more prayer and praise and preaching, but putting forth blasphemies and doctrines of demons. His beauteous eyes profaned by what they see, and there is no turning away. His ears ringing with revelry and strife, his very heart, the furnace of love, frozen with avarice and cruelty and unbelief. His memory laden with every sin since Adam. You know what this is like, a little bit, but enough. The misery of some haunting thought which you reject, but it returns, if not to seduce, at least to traduce and to betray all that you hold dear. Some temptation, not your own, forced upon your mind from the outside. Some past sin, if only it were past. And there is no peace. Jesus bends and bows to the earth and cries to his Father as a criminal, not as his Christ-anointed victim. His agony was guilt, guilt by association, such a hoard as hovered around him that holy Thursday night. Behold his penance. He makes his confession. He shows a contrition far greater than that of all the saints together. He is the one victim for us all, penitent in our place. Finally, he rises. There is blood upon his garments and in his footsteps as he ascends the altar. Thus did Jesus Christ say his confiteor for us in our place and in our stead, and then passed on quickly to the Misereator. Do you know that little prayer afterwards? Our servers are learning it. May Almighty God have mercy on you and forgive you your sins and bring you to eternal life. Only at Calvary, he tells us why. When someone injures us or does us wrong, we say, he should have known better. But when we sin against God, he finds an excuse for forgiveness, our ignorance. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That seeing, did the Master just say these words? That seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. If we did know, like the angels, and still go on sinning, if we knew how good God is and still would strike the blow, there could be no forgiveness. We would never be saved. It is only our ignorance, and such ignorance, that in our pride we continue to weave him his crown of thorns. Our ignorance of the infinite love of the Sacred Heart, that it is that makes us able to lean in closely and to hear the words of the priest at Golgotha, almost murmured, Father, forgive. they know not what they do. Oh, mind you, it is not an excuse for continued sin, but it is a motive for contrition. Forgiveness does not deny the horrible fact of sin. It acknowledges it, and that is truth, and it absolves it. Mercy, mercy and truth are met in the work of our Savior. The modern world denies sin, explains it away, ignores it. And that is why, with them, have you ever noticed this about political correctness? It is harsh and unbending. And there is no forgiveness for society's fashionable sin of the hour. But for sinlessness, it prepares a cross. What other reaction could there be from cowardice and blindness and compromise and cruelty and, yes, political correctness than to nail innocence, the Lamb of God, to the cross and wink at real guilt? But he wore that day the foul vesture of sin, and he allowed it to wreak its vengeance upon him, flesh and soul. And having said, "Our confiteor," he surveyed the scene from the altar of the cross and cried out in suffocating gasps, "Father, they know not. Forgive." There is no denial of sin here. Its stench assaults, its cry horrifies, its blood guilt is splattered everywhere. And yet, with all its horror, the victim forgives. The cross, the Mass, sign of sin's utter depravity, seat of divine forgiveness. The greatest tragedy of life is not what happens to souls. All of it happened to him. He knew it intimately. He bore it. Those wounds of yours you struggle under every day, and those of all the world. The tragedy is what souls miss. The Mass. Man prays his confiteor at the altar, and God echoes it from the cross and completes it with the promise of mercy and of indulgence. The wounds of our Savior were terrible, but the worst wound of all would be forgetfulness. But we remember our confiteor when we go to God's altar, and God remembers to forgive. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,